Hello and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. I am Diana Isaacs. I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Natalie Bellini, and we have a very exciting episode today where we have a guest, Brian Hansen from Ascensia, and we are going to talk all things Eversense 365. For those that haven't heard, there is now a 365 one-year version of this sensor. So, Brian, would you mind introducing yourself and describing your role at Ascensia and a little bit about your background for our listeners?
Yeah, sure, Diane. Thanks for having me. I've been at Ascensia now a little under a year. I actually had an 8-year run with Tandem Diabetes Care, the pump company that started out rather small when I was there in early 2016. And we grew to being in 27 countries with about 500,000 folks using our pump. And I retired at the end of the year to spend a little time with my last of 5 children that was heading off to college. And I was successful at that retirement for a total of 35 days. I knew the Senseonics folks very well from my time at Tandem. We'd had multiple discussions over the years about integration and opportunities to pair the sensor with our pump. And when it became public that I was retiring, they reached out and asked if I would do a little consulting and do some work with them on their Eversense product. And that turned into an Ascensia president role, overseeing our CGM business worldwide and trying to grow this to a, to the next level. So I, like I said, I failed at my retirement, but I'm having quite a bit of fun here in a very similar position we were in with Tandem, 8 years ago, very small and needing to kind of build out the scale and figure out the right value proposition for our patients and our healthcare providers. And that's the role I now fill at Ascensia.
Wow. I love that. What a great story. So let's jump right in to 365. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about it. What is FDA indication, ages, those kinds of things?
Yep. So wonderful to have the Eversense 365 approved, right? 1 year, one CGM, something we've been waiting for and certainly eagerly anticipating to be able to provide to our patients and healthcare providers. We got approval, I believe it was September 18th, and we got approval for type 1 and type 2. The age indication is 18 years and up, and it's very, very similar to our 180-day product, right? It just lasts 365 days. So now we have the world's first and only 365-day continuous glucose monitor, so we're super happy about that. We're just now getting to the commercialization stage, but if I talk just briefly about it, obviously we double the wear time, and the biggest piece we were certainly more than hoping for, planning for, but you never know through the process of a clinical trial, which was obviously over a year because the patients needed to wear it for that length of time, and we submitted all that data to the FDA. We ended up with the same performance characteristics as the 180-degree system. Right. So that was really good, not only from a wear time and a survivability perspective, but also from, a MARD, a MAD, the accuracy that we came to expect from the 180 product we now see in the 365-day product. So we've eliminated one insertion since we only have to do it once a year, but we still have the same trust and performance in the product that the patients have become used to. The other real key characteristic for this product is after initial few weeks of having to do a finger stick to calibrate it, you only have to do a finger stick to calibrate it once a week now going forward, where the 180-day product and the 90-day product, you had to do it on a daily basis. And we know with the current CGMs on the market being factory calibrated for the 10 or 14, 15-day period, that certainly became something that patients wanted us to be able to reduce and to get to a weekly calibration. Obviously, wearing it a year, you need to calibrate to make sure for that whole time your CGM is being accurate and giving you the proper glucose values. But we're super happy with that. So now weekly calibrations and one insertion, we think we have a product that will be much more popular with patients and healthcare providers.
That's so awesome. Can you talk to us a little bit about the transmitter? So I understand there's an outer transmitter that's worn on the arm while the sensor is implanted. Does the transmitter look any different? Is that it's still charged every day? Anything different that people should know about that?
Yeah, great question. So yes, there's a transmitter, and I think the transmitter, it's good to point out what it does. So the sensor, as it's implanted underneath the skin, doesn't have power to it today, and it doesn't really do anything unless the transmitter is there powering the sensor itself. And then obviously it has a Bluetooth connective, has a battery and it has a Bluetooth in it that will send those glucose readings to your phone, your watch, and ultimately one day to a pump. We have not changed the form factor of that. And it was kind of an interesting question a few weeks ago at a Senseonics board meeting. All of our efforts are getting rid of the transmitter in the future iterations and having just the sensor sit under the skin. So let's take all of our resources, which are finite in small companies, and put it towards eliminating the transmitter versus trying to make it smaller. So it's the same transmitter. The one difference on this transmitter versus the 180-day transmitter is you used to charge it in a cradle, and now it just simply plugs in very conveniently to a USB cable. And so I think patients will like that a little bit better because it's just a much easier connection. And again, that transmitter charges when someone's taking a shower in the morning for 10 or 15 minutes. It's fully charged and off you go. So pretty much the same, just a little different in the charging mechanism. And yeah, we're off.
Well, I think that's a huge improvement, right? I do, because you can be anywhere and get that charger, right? You can use a cable anywhere. Whereas if you didn't have the right system with you to charge before, that could become an issue. You forgot it at home, for example, right? You can't just go get one. So I honestly want to not make that a minimum thing. That's a big thing, actually.
No, thanks,
right?
You can imagine
stick it on when you're in the shower and you stick it on and it's done by the time you get out. To me, it's very similar to another pump product that we do, and we train the same way. Put it on for 10 or 15 minutes or 20 minutes when you're in the shower and you're good to go for the day. You forget it, you can go get one. And that's a huge step in the right direction.
We certainly got that feedback, and that was something that they engineered into the new product. We obviously think that's awesome as well. So, and I was used to that from the Tandem pump product, where you simply do the same thing. When you're getting in the shower in the morning, plug it in, let it charge for 15, 20 minutes. It's going to be good to go, and your day is filled, and off you go. So same thing here. And wonderful so far.
Yeah. And I think the advantage of having the transmitter is just the on-body vibe alerts about 100%. Getting, right, the 100%. Hypoglycemia alerts, even if phone's not nearby. So
100%. And obviously with the transmitter, you can take it off anytime you want, right? The silicone-based adhesive is very mild. It's super easy to take on or off. People typically replace that on a daily basis, but that way it's easy just to remove your transmitter for any reason. It's just so choose. If you want to put it back on, you just stick it right back on. So that's a bit of an advantage to a product like this.
And I think we forget that, you know, that the on-body vibration can alert you differently than any beep, right? And so I think that's a true advantage as well, is that yes, your phone, it is connected to an app on your phone, the sensor is, and it will beep just like any other continuous glucose sensor will, but it also is going to get your attention on your body itself. And for those people who will have hearing issues, who will learn to ignore their beeping or vibration on their phone, this is another opportunity to say, hey, your glucose is out of range. We need you to make a decision to help treat that number. I love that.
We certainly hear that. We also hear, due to the nature of the insertion and the way that it sits on the body from a transmitter perspective, it greatly reduces, almost eliminates, but we can't quite say that compression lows. So for those that are side sleepers and tend to sleep on their CGM and get those false alerts at night, which can be quite annoying, those compression lows are virtually eliminated with this system. So another advantage of the way that's configured.
So I have a question. We know CGM is really taking the world by storm. And for the most part, lots of people, right, are using Libre, they're using Dexcom. What type of patient do you have in mind? Like, who would be a good candidate for Eversense?
Yeah, it's a great question. And just in rough numbers, about half of our patients that come to us have used other CGMs. And they've had some issue with, it failing early, getting knocked off. Maybe they don't like the adhesives, right, and the irritation or discomfort that comes with it. We just talked about compression lows. There may be reasons why they didn't trust their traditional CGM, and so they've come looking for something different, or a physician has recommended it. You know, in the diabetes community, you know, the community is very well versed and very knowledgeable, right? The advocacy and the amount of information out there. So we do get a lot of folks reaching out to us through our, inbound channels and also physicians recommending it. The other half are CGM naive patients that have decided that they want to use CGM, but for some reason, this fits their lifestyle better. They've, heard about this. The accuracy and the performance of their product is exceptional. So if somebody has used it, they really like it, and they tend to tell, several of their friends in their, circles. And so about half of our patients that come to us are new to CGM therapy. So we're expanding the market as well.
I would imagine for someone that gets like frequent procedures like MRIs, like the ability to just take off that outer transmitter would be nice instead of having to replace like a full sensor each time.
And listen, I'm not someone to really disparage the other companies because I think that everybody is growing the market and I'm so pro-choice. I was even when I sold for all those years, right? I believed in my product, but you know, there's for patients to have choice, it's great. But you know, if and I'm not, if you're a plumber, if you're a firefighter, if you're knocking into things, if you're crawling in tight spaces, we had a discussion earlier today with someone whose child is a wrestler, and the CGMs just did not work in a traditional CGM in that way. Our CGM implanted under the skin. Simply, if you're going to the wrestling match for 3 minutes, remove the transmitter, go do your thing, come back, put it back on, and you're off, right? So there are a variety of use cases that make more sense than others, but you know, simply there's some that just this works better for them, for their lifestyle. You can jump in the hot tub, jump in the pool, whatever, and stuff. It doesn't make a difference. And so, yeah, it's a broad spectrum that it covers. But I think with the 365, we're now going to see more traditional users might lean into, hey, getting inserted for a year is not all that bad. I don't have multiple day ones and, you know, have to jump into a new CGM every 10 days or 14 days and kind of suffer through that first whatever period, 4 hours, 6 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours, you know, once you get ours on and get through the first couple of days and calibrate accurately through that, you're off and running and you don't have any of those day ones for an entire year.
That I think that is incredible, right? I think we do have people who truly struggle with that first 24 hours where, you know, so you struggle 24 hours every 10 or 14, 15 days. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of days where you're not necessarily getting what you want out of your CGM. So that's a really interesting point. The other question I have is, you know, let's go back towards a little bit of coverage, right? Medicare. Can you talk to us about your coverage for Medicare? Because this is new this year, and I think that this is important.
Yeah. So a couple of things that have been really positive for us. When we went from 90 to 180, it was a big question of how do you bill for 180 days versus 90 days? And obviously there was a ton of work when it was first introduced to get coverage for it. We have very broad commercial coverage today, well over 300 million lives covered. And it's, you know, you got to go through the pre-auth process typically for a product like this. But the good news for CGM is most of the CGM products are billed under a CPT code and they're a daily code. So if you have one that goes 10 days or 14 days or, you know, 90 or 180, in this case, 365 days, you simply bill that code by the units that your system is, you know, warranted to work for, in our case, a year. And so for 365 days, this code applies to our system. And so as we checked with the payers prior to approval, and as we got to approval here, they said, hey, no problem. We'll just continue to bill under that code. And now you just bill for a full year up front, which could be a little bit of a barrier for some patients who may not, you know, if their copay is larger and they're used to getting 90-day supply or 30-day supply of a traditional CGM, they might have to, you know, they see maybe a different financial responsibility one time versus multiple times during the year. And we can talk about our patient assistance program, which can help alleviate some of that burden. But we think that everything going into 365 is pretty smooth. Now, when you talk about Medicare, you have to register your device, even though it changes from 180 to 365. And there's a process that you go through to do that. And we're in the middle of that process today. But we have full faith that we will get to that in fairly short order. And regardless, we have plans to offer the 365 product to make sure that the patient is getting the product they need and working with CMS to make sure in Medicare that we're able to do that. But it's going to be available for Medicare patients. It is available for Medicare patients. It is available for commercial patients. We just don't have Medicaid coverage. That is the one area that we don't have.
Excellent. That's great. I'm curious about iCGM. So I know earlier this year it was approved as iCGM, integrated CGM, so that it can in the future work with insulin pumps for automated insulin delivery. So tell us a little bit about that, how that came to be, and maybe if you could touch on what the future might hold.
Yeah, long time in the making. We did get our iCGM approval, I believe, at the end of April. I think there is a belief with the interoperability. First off, I give the FDA all the kudos in the world for having the interoperability opportunity in the claim. They've come so far with diabetes and they really lean into technology. So it's made it easier for CGM companies and pump companies to integrate with the interoperability claims, whether it's an algorithm, a pump, a CGM, what have you. Love it, right? But the one negative is we get it, and every doctor just thinks it's going to connect to a pump the next day. And there's a lot of work that has to go on behind the scenes, engineering, R&D, you know, connectivity. It's Bluetooth is Bluetooth, but there's still some work that has to be done. I'm very familiar with all that we did, you know, in my prior life because we were connected to the other CGMs on the market. So that being said, what are the three things that iCGM does for you? One is it says you got a really good product because that bar was set pretty high. And if you
Yes.
don't, if you're not on top of that bar, you're not getting iCGM. And if it's not fairly seamless and easy for a patient to use, and if it's not very, you know, glowingly accurate in the eyes of the FDA, you're not getting iCGM. So that was a check mark to say, hey, good job, right? Here's your little star, and now you have it. The second piece says, okay, now I can submit our 365 product, which happened right after that approval, with a 510K submission, which is a 90-day submission versus going through a longer PMA submission process. So it certainly abbreviated our submission and our ability to get it through the FDA, the 365-day process of the FDA in a very short order. But what's everybody want to talk about? Are you having meaningful conversations with the pump companies? And the answer is absolutely yes. And it's good that I know them all, have been part of that. And that's how I know Senseonics. I think I opened the discussion with that. You know, Tim and the team, Tim Goodnow, the CEO of Senseonics, came in multiple times and we'd meet almost at every conference and talk about, is this an opportunity to do it? But I, being responsible for that discussion at Tandem all the years, said, you got to get to some size, right? You got to get to a year product. Ideally, you got to get rid of this, you know, transmitter, have it fully implanted, the value props that everybody's asking for. So we believe with 365, this is an inflection point now for the company. And with the iCGM, it makes those discussions much better with the pump companies, much easier to integrate, albeit there is months, if not multiple months, to still do it. It will not be an overnight piece. And I would just say generally, and we'll let Tim Goodnow and the team at Senseonics share more if they so choose to in the upcoming earnings call. There are multiple meaningful conversations going on and integration work in flight. And so we hope at some point, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, I can't tell you exactly when it will be, but we will be integrated with more than one pump if everything continues to progress as we're interacting today. And they work, they talk. Now we just got to get all the fine-tuning done. So we'll see.
I love your honesty. I do. I love that you're not promising something tomorrow so that everyone waits with bated breath until it drops and then gets disappointed. And then let's be honest with clinicians. Let's be honest with patients about time frames. I think this is newer in the industry where we used to say, tomorrow, it's around the corner. Here it comes. This is you saying, no, this is the process and this will take a while, but we're going to do it right. And that I think is very important. I love that you also represent patient choice. You know, one of the things that Diana and I both do every day in clinical practice is say, what is right for the person with diabetes in front of us right now? Right? Right now. And that might change in a year or two or four, but right now, this would be best for you because of X, Y, and Z. And opening that up and allowing our patients to pick different options is going to be huge, as it always is. Every time it happens, it's a big deal.
Well, I love you for
Yeah.
saying that, Marissa. At the end of the day, what are we looking for? Improve glycemic control for our patients. And we're looking to make it easier for our clinicians, right? Reduce the stress of diabetes management for both. And then if we can give choice, right? Not every CGM works for every patient. And I mean that for ours too, right? Clearly ours isn't for every patient. And they may have challenges with one or other devices. So choice is, it's, we would love to see every pump company offer choice. It would be in our best interest. We would hope as we grow now, it would be in the pump company's interest as well. And that's the discussions I'm having, right? So stay tuned. We'll get there and we'll get there, you know, in some time here. But yeah, promising anything that we can't deliver is just going to put me in a pickle, right? And you know, that doesn't work. But I'm going to be very excited when we can share more and you know, start to put some more definitive timelines around it and then deliver that in the timelines we promised.
But
Yeah,
right now, today, I think what we have to think about is that small number of people on pumps waiting for integration versus the huge number of people that are sensor ready now,
sure.
right? So, yes, you're not in this very small market right here, but the rest of the market you are open to, right? So I hear that. And Diana, what were you going to say? I'm sorry for
Well, I have a
we
couple
both have
follow-up
so many
questions.
things to say, right?
Yeah,
Like
there's
this is
so
our
many,
right.
right, so
Yes.
many things going through my head. But
Right.
so one thing I wanted to clarify, I mean, we know Medicare covers CGM for people that are just on insulin, like a basal insulin, right? So would those types of patients also be covered then for the Eversense as well?
Standard CGM code,
Beautiful.
so we have no differentiation there, which is wonderful for us. That they've pioneered obviously that for us, and it's helped our market access tremendously.
Beautiful. Because one of the things I think that I'm thinking about is that we are putting more and more people on insulin pumps, on AID systems, including people with type 2 diabetes. I mean, we just saw Omnipod 5 got the approval for type 2 diabetes. And so one of the things that goes through my head is sometimes, well, if they get this and then they're committed to wearing it for a year, but then they want to go on an AID system, kind of what would that look like? Obviously, we hope in the nearer future, there will be that integration. But out of curiosity, if someone does try it, and let's say after a month, we hope this doesn't happen, but they say it's not for me, or I want to use an AID system that at this time isn't compatible. Yeah. Will they be locked into a contract where they can't switch, or would they still be able to use a sensor compatible with a pump, or for whatever reason they wanted to switch?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Diane. And quite frankly, when you have an inserted CGM, you're pretty pot committed at that point, right?
Yeah.
So you're not making a decision 30 days down the road to just take it out in most cases. What you would probably do, and I'm now this is hypothetical, what you'd probably do is take your transmitter off and the sensor can sit in, you know, underneath the skin. It's not powered up at this point. It's not doing anything. I certainly recommended to remove it after a year, but we know several folks, including several employees who have tested it and never taken it out. I'm not sure that's the best thing either. I would probably advise against it, but someone can take a CGM holiday. They can wear a, you know, traditional CGM on their abdomen, on their, you know, other arm, wherever they'd want to wear it. It wouldn't interfere. So they could do that, but you're certainly not getting the benefit of the insertion that you just had 30 days ago. And quite frankly, probably paid a decent amount of money for, depending on what your coverage is. So that's a pretty important decision for a patient to make. But it could happen. They might come back after 30 days or 60 days and say to the physician, I really want to use this pump with this CGM, and therefore I'd like you to take it out. But clearly that is not reusable once it is taken out. It's a 5-minute procedure to remove it, right? It's a 10-minute or so procedure to, you know, put it in. It takes about 5 minutes, maybe 15 minutes total. So they're not tough procedures, but that's an unfortunate situation, Diana, if that's where they end up, right? Hopefully they made a decision to say, you're right, you know, a year's longer than 6 months, so there's some tremendous benefits for it. But if someone's wishy-washy, it may not be as positive in that situation.
Yeah, and I think it's just good for people to know that. I mean, we know it's a lot of the pumps, it's going to be a 4-year contract. So I think people are used to, there's some level of commitment. I mean, a year is just a year, right? But it's good for people to kind of know that as they're deciding what options they're going to go with.
Fair enough. You could wear both. You could have your Senseonics here with your transmitter. Right. You could wear your CGM somewhere else connected to your pump. And you, quite frankly, could be comparing some values. It'd be a little bit of fun. It's a field trial.
That would be fun.
Don't get Diana started. She wants one now. I can already tell you. I saw the look in her eye.
Love one. I've been trying to get them to, I want Natalie to put one in me, but there's all these rules.
There's some sort of rule about not having diabetes, about me cutting your arm open at my kitchen table. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking, but we're ready.
We are ready.
On that point, kind of on a non-serious note, yesterday, we did place our first commercial sensor in a patient in St. Louis at Mercy Healthcare System. There was a press release this morning. So we have now the first. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. We had our clinical trial. So we, you know, had several using it over the course of a year, but our first patient is now on it. I was driving from Kansas City to St. Louis yesterday to be there for the groundbreaking per se. And I was talking to several of my teammates here and in Europe, and they were asking if I was going to do the insertion, which is obviously ludicrous because that is a, you know, physician level, nurse level. This is not a, you know, a product that even an educator could do. And I said, yes, absolutely. I've been working, and as I'm driving, I've been practicing on my leg to insert it and stuff. And so they said, boy, this is really going to go well. So I guess I was not inspiring confidence in my team, letting them know that I was going to do the insertion. But
I love it. Right.
Thankfully, Dr. Goldstein was there. He did it very well. We did a little bit of a certification with him beforehand, and we'd have a little, you know, dummy arm that they play with and insert and remove. And then he walked right in and confidently inserted this and, you know, beautifully. And he's an interventional cardiologist, so he's quite used to making little slits in the skin and inserting, you know, different devices, right? So it was really a fun day to watch. And Mercy looks to use this in standard of care across, you know, a very large group of patients that they do not feel is getting proper control and have not necessarily dived into the technology pool yet or taking advantage of the ones that they have. So this is our first real large partnership. And so here we go.
That's awesome. So I understand it's easy to put it. Natalie has demonstrated for all of us many, many times. But are there enough people that are trained to put these in people's arms? Like if someone wants to get it wherever they live, are there any barriers or are there people readily available to put them in?
Yeah, and another story from a conversation this morning was someone said, I tried to get it about a year ago. I live in Vermont and I would have had to have gone several hours to get an inserter that could do it. We've certainly worked on improving the insertion network or those capable of inserting, whether it's the physician offices or whether it's, you know, a surgery center, a derm, something like that, because it's very easy to do. So we've been working on improving that as well as controlling some of our own destiny. Senseonics is now hiring folks to do insertions in key markets. So without that, you really do have a limit or a barrier to access. And so from a patient experience perspective, we are really focused on getting the inserters up and running. We have several hundred in the United States, so it's not like we only have a few here or there. We want to add to that so a patient isn't required to drive, you know, even an hour, right? How many folks really, it might only be once a year, right? But how many folks really want to go a long way to have this done? So it's incumbent on us to get more folks in place, and volume will help that as well. The more volume we get as we now, I think, grow a little bit faster with 365, we'll be able to get more per diem folks, you know, on board to do the insertions. Because like you just said, it's super simple, right? It's about 5 minutes of procedure time. It's about 15 minutes of office time. It doesn't take much to do it. 3 Steri-Strips, you know, put a Band-Aid on it for 24 hours, and then you put your adhesive on, your transmitter on, you're off and running. So the insertion part is fairly simple. We just need to have more reason to get more people to do it.
Yeah, and hopefully as more people hear about it and want to get it, then it'll make the case that more people should get trained so that there's better access. I'm curious about the app. Sorry.
Hang on, one more second about the insertions, right? Well, we'll cut that part out. Don't worry, right? Like, yeah. So I have one more question or a comment about the insertions, actually, because, you know, I'm in a hospital system and we had a little bit of a glitch in billing at our practice. And so we made the decision to use the outpatient. They're actually nurse practitioners where we are. And we didn't miss a beat, right? So we said, look, until you figure this out here, we're going to use them. They'll do it. And then the patient, we always want to make sure we're getting the person with diabetes what they need, no matter what, no matter if we're getting to bill or not bill for it. And it was seamless. We went out to them. And then when we figured out what the heck we were doing in this huge system, they could come back in, right? So I think people should think about that, you know, instead of waiting until we could have put it off for 6 months or a year and said, we can't do these anymore, period. Well, that's not an answer. We must offer choice. It's part of what we're instructed to do as clinicians is not pick something for the person, but offer them choice. And if we couldn't do it, we needed to use it. And it worked. It was, I just have to tell you guys, as listeners, it was wonderful. It was not a problem at all.
Well, we appreciate that. I think it's incumbent on us on being able to give you the proper information too on whether it's done in a hospital setting and kind of a more, you know, higher level surgery center, which has different CPT codes, yes, as you know, in different pieces versus an outpatient, which has a fully different reimbursement and potentially easier reimbursement, which is exactly what you came up against. So now we have folks that help our accounts with that, make sure that everything is in place for that. And so that's on us as much as because it's a little bit of a different process for us with a CGM than it is the others. But yeah, I think we've done a better job of that now. And you've been through that. So yes, I appreciate that a lot.
So I just wanted to ask about the app, because I really like the app that's worked with the Eversense. I like the fact that it has the predictive alerts. And I think there's actually a lot of functionality that is really, really good specific to it. So I'm curious, is the 365 the same exact app, or have you guys made any changes?
Nope, we have. It's the same thing. The only change on the product, quite frankly, is the way you're going to charge the transmitter. So everything else is the same. What we are going to be doing here in the future, we've announced this, is we're working with a remote patient monitoring company called Rimidi, right? They're a leading clinical management program company or platform. And so that may incorporate some things into the app down the road, but today it's the exact same thing. And that's a ball in flight right now, but that'll offer some additional capabilities to our healthcare providers when monitoring and certainly onboarding patients for the first time to a product like this. So trying to be differentiated a little bit and offer some additional solutions.
Awesome. And yes. I know we've kept you for a while, but I'm just curious.
No,
so we heard you mention a big goal is to eliminate the transmitter. any other future goals that in terms of that you can share about these
Yes. Close
directions?
your eyes, get your magic ball out. Now it's the dream. I dream of ever since as, and tell us your top three.
Well, first off, it's fully implantable, right? And I think, Tim Goodnow at Senseonics has shared that, quite openly with the street. That is a very active project today. So the two things that have to happen now for the sensor is one, to put battery power onto the sensor itself that's implanted underneath the skin. Today, that is battery powered via the transmitter. So that battery needs to be added to the sensor itself. And if you think about pacemakers and other battery-powered devices that are put underneath the skin, they last for years and years and years, right? My dad's had one implanted for, what, 15 years and just got a new one put in here, a month or two ago. So amazing what a battery can do for that. So that technology is there. And then to be fully implantable, because you still need to transmit it, then you need to put a Bluetooth in the sensor as well and have it implanted.
Interesting.
And you don't want it to be like this, right? We have such a small unit. It'll add a little space to it or size to it, but really nominal. So that being said, if we can add the Bluetooth to it and have enough battery to power that Bluetooth, sending a signal every 5 minutes or so to a phone, a pump, a watch, then you've got your first fully implantable without a transmitter on the outside. To me, that is the holy grail, right? That is the opportunity to change, the trajectory of Senseonics, certainly of us as Ascensia partnering with Senseonics to be the exclusive worldwide distribution partner. That's what we're looking for. That's one, two, and three for me. Clearly, the things we just talked about in getting more inserters, getting more visibility, getting more patients on our product helps solve a lot of the commercial and just business problems and challenges that we have today. But that is now really starting in just the first 2 weeks of having approval for our product. We've really seen an uptick in inbound interest and HCP interest. So, my job is now to help scale this and meet the needs of the customers, not only here in the US, we're in six countries in Europe, and with some success in getting CE marking on this, we want to expand on that as well. So, that's definitely going to be a lot of work over the next couple of years, but our pipeline is fairly well defined now because the sensor is a sensor. Nothing changes on the fluidics and fluorescence, the sensor itself. It is what it is. Add a little power, add some communication protocol to it. You've got yourself a fully implantable CGM.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That's so amazing. I really commend you all because I remember things were looking kind of dire during like the height of COVID, when at the time it was the 3 month product. And so getting people to come in every 3 months when COVID was happening was really like, I imagine there weren't as many sales, right? And
Well,
so
Diana, I don't know if
now.
you know this. It went from, let's just call it several thousand. I'm not sure if that number has really ever been made public, but I mean, several thousand to zero. Right, because there were no elective procedures during 2020, and
Wow.
so we really suffered from that. So that is when Ascensia took over for a distribution partner, and we had to rebuild that business because a patient who had it couldn't go back in after their 3 month period and get it put back in because that was not being offered anymore in any of the centers.
Wow. Yeah. So it's just amazing to see how far it's come. Now it's once a year, and now people are coming in for elective procedures, so it's no issue. Yeah.
Well, and the excitement around not only today, right? I'm excited about today for you. I'm excited about
Me too.
that's not, the calibrations have been reduced. The on-body experience of having that vibrate for people that need that extra ability to respond to glucoses, the future, the ICGM, the, pump partners, but also fully implantable. I mean, it's been an incredible conversation. I'm super excited.
Yeah, me too. And now you can see why I failed at my 35 days of retirement,
Exactly.
right?
Right. Yep.
See where this was
Well, Diane
going
and I are
and now
both
the
going to fail
challenge.
at retirement too. We both already know that. We've talked about it, right?
I'm
I
just
was never
way too
planning
young
to.
to worry
All right.
about that. So,
Exactly. Right. Exactly. That's it. Thank you so
awesome.
much. This has been an incredible conversation.
No, we
Yes.
appreciate the time very much.
Thank you so much. And thank you everyone for tuning in. That wraps up this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. I want to thank Brian Hansen for joining us, and we hope you will all tune in again next time.